tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another fantastic episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And what makes it so special is because I'm in the company of our great Muballigh, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah, Subhanallah, Jazakullah Sayyidi, once again for partaking in the program. And it's always a pleasure to have you, Alhamdulillah. And now, our today's discussion is about something that is related to our inner self. And it is not something that we can physically see, but it's there. Just like the oxygen, we can't see, but nobody can deny its existence. Similarly, these are the things that are there: ego, jealousy, malice, hatred, love for the world, evil desires, carnal desires. All of it is there, though we may not see it. But they are real dangers. And Alhamdulillah, today's topic of discussion is dangers of spiritual diseases, those diseases which cannot be diagnosed by the medical equipment, but they can eat you up spiritually from within. And inshallah, there is a cure for these diseases, and that is immersing ourselves in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the prophetic guideline of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by adhering to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah azza wa jal, if we adhere to these beautiful nasihas and advices that are given in the prophetic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by the pious predecessors, as they have tread this path and shown us practically how we must get hold of our nafs, and inshallah azza wa jal, and suppress our carnal desires, the spiritual diseases, the hidden diseases, which we may not be even aware of that we have them. Just as it is important to cleanse ourselves of the apparent filth and apparent dirt that we may have on our hand. Why do we bath every day? Why do we make wudu? To get rid of that apparent najasat, or the filth that is there. And to get rid of the inner filth, how do we attain that? By making istighfar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By constantly making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By praying to Allah azza wa jal. These are some of the ways where we can truly, inshallah, make a difference and let our inner self shine for us. Subhanallah. There's no point that our bodies are clean and, you know, spotless. Our clothes are clean and glowing, but our inner self is dark with the sins. Allahu Akbar. So yes, we take care of our outer self so well. You know, we bath every day, we brush our teeth every day, we use different, you know, fragrance, itr, to smell good. And we do all of this to apparently look good, to make ourselves presentable, apparently. But spiritually, what do we do for that? Inshallah, we're going to explore that shortly. But before that, let's recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. On page 367, volume 1 of the book Uyunul Hikayat, a beautiful book published by Maktabatul Madina, it is stated that the renowned pious person of the spiritual Sufi order of Qadiriyya Radwiya سيدنا أبو قاسم جنيد بغدادي رحمة الله تعالى عليه, he has stated that one night I became restless and I kept myself busy worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I had no inner peace. I tried my best to pay full attention to my worship with extreme humility and presence of heart, but I could not succeed in my effort. I then started reciting the Holy Quran, and yet I could not concentrate and get inner peace. Allahu Akbar. I wondered as to why I was not able to concentrate on divine worship and I lost my inner peace. Eventually, in the latter part of the night, I put my shawl on my shoulder and went out of my home. After walking some distance, I saw a person wrapped in a shawl. When I approached him, he raised his head and asked me, "Why are you so worried? Has the judgment day begun?" I asked, "Has the fixed day of the judgment day come?" So they are having this questionnaire. And then the person replied, "No, but I'm asking if you are going to attain inner peace due to being worried about the state of agitation and restlessness that you have." I replied in the affirmative, "Yes," and said that I have really come out to attain the peace of the heart and I want to know as to why I am not getting inner peace tonight. Then Sayyidina Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala says that I asked him, "Okay, tell me, do you need anything from me?" And the person answered, "Yes." And he needed something from Sayyidina Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala. Then Sayyidina Junayd Baghdadi asked him again, "Tell me, what do you need from me?" And he replied, "O Abu Qasim, tell me if there is any situation in which disease itself becomes a medicine."
Allah.
If there is a situation where the disease itself becomes a medicine and a remedy. And I replied, "Yes, there is a situation. There is one such situation in which disease itself becomes a medicine. Listen carefully. When you oppose the desire of your nafs, all diseases of your heart will go away from you and the same diseases will themselves become a medicine."
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Having heard this, the man took a sigh of relief and said, "I've been, you know, given the answer to the question in the same way 7 times tonight. But I had the desire to listen to this answer from you. By the grace of Allah Almighty, this desire of mine has been fulfilled and I have heard the answer to my question from your tongue." Saying this, that person left and he was never to be seen again.
Allah.
Subhanallah. This is the spiritual world, Sayyidi. Only those who are the expert in the field, the awliya-i kiram, the pious predecessors, the sulaha, only they truly know, sufiya-i kiram. They know the inner situation of the heart and how to channel the inner working of our spiritual inner self, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards that cleanses our inner self as well as our outer appearance. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Lamin. Inshallah, we have a beautiful kalam for you and a nasiha. And let's go and listen to the kalam and listen to the nasiha, inshallah, until we are back. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Le raza, sab chale madine ko, main na jaun, are khuda na kare. Jaan o dil ho shokhrad sab to madine pahunche tum nahi chalte raza sara to saman gaya mera dil la جان مدینے والے میرا دل اور میری جان مدینے والے تجھ پہ سو جان سے قربان مدینے والے تجھ پہ سو جان سے قربان مدینے والے بھر دے بھر دے میرے داتا میری جھولی بھر دے بھر دے بھر دے میرے داتا میری جھولی بھر دے اب نہ رکھ بے سر و سامان مدینے والے اب نہ رکھ بے سر و سامان مدینے پھر تمنا زیارت نے کیا دل بے چین پھر تمنا زیارت نے کیا دل بے چین پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان مدینے والے پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان مدینے لکھ دے لکھ دے میری قسمت میں مدینہ لکھ دے لکھ دے لکھ دے میری قسمت میں مدینہ تیری ملک قلم دان مدینے والے ہے تیری ملک قلم دان مدینے حشر میں تم میرے عیبوں کو چھپائے رکھنا حشر میں تم میرے عیبوں کو چھپائے رکھنا پشیمان مدینے والے ہوں گناہوں پہ پشیمان مدینے والے تیرا در چھوڑ کے جاؤں تو کہاں جاؤں میں تیرا در چھوڑ کے جاؤں
Now, if we are in a life of depression where we're wasting a lot of our time, if you are going to all of a sudden try and do too many things, it's not going to work. And gradually you'll go back to your old life. But the example the scholars give is, say somebody is very miserly and he doesn't like giving money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, he's not going to give £100 straight off. But that person, if he wants to get rid of this habit, he should start donating a penny or a pound here and there. Every time he goes to the masjid, donate a pound. Every time he sees somebody poor, donate a pound. Then, gradually over time, he'll get into the habit of giving, and his mind and his conscious and his subconscious will start to accept that giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla is good. In exactly the same way, applying the same analogy to our situation, we waste a lot of time, we're in depression, we spend a lot of time, you know, on social media, on browsing the net, on television and everything else, and we have very little achievements we actually make. Now, if somebody suddenly decides, right, I want to do this, I want to do that, I'm going to start this, I'm going to start that, you make a long list. It's a bit like New Year's resolutions, which work for about a few weeks, and then after that, you're back to your old self. The tactic behind it is, like that person who was very miserly, if you're going to ask him to give away £1,000 or £100, he wasn't going to do it. Give a pound. Start slowly. Just list a couple of things. I will make sure I pray my salah. I will make sure I'd spend no more, but say 24 minutes every day, or 12 minutes every day, reading the Qur'an. Siratul Jinan fi tafsir al-Qur'an, with translation. English commentary of the Qur'an, English translation of the Qur'an. 12 minutes, that's it. During the day, I'm going to pray my salah. I'm going to try and get to the masjid. Just the little things. After a week, once you establish that, increase it a little bit. I'm going to actually attend the Madrasatul Madinah Balighan classes 3 days a week. Start with the weekly Ijtima, once a week. After a few weeks, the Madrasatul Madinah Balighan. Then, once a month, Kaflas of Dawat Islami. Then, if you're going to spend time watching the TV, sometimes we're addicted to the television. One good Madani pearl is this. Watch good things. Put a bayan on. You know, Mufti Qasim Sahib Dawud Barakatul Aliya's bayans, Abdul Habib Bhai's bayans, Nigrani Shura's bayans. Best of all, Madni Muzakras. Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliya gives so many Madni pearls. And just watching Amir al-Sunnah in the Madni Muzakra will start to get rid of your depression. Why? Because you're seeing a pious person of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, when you look at their face, it reminds you of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what it is all about. Look at these things. Try and change your life gradually. Just watch the Madni Muzakara every Saturday. Don't set out to achieve everything in one day. Bite size. If you do it slowly and gradually over weeks and months, change your life. Get out. Go for long walks. Keep a tasbih with you. Start doing the zikr. I'm going to read Durood e Pak 1,000 times a day. I'm going to do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahu, 1,000 times a day. But at the same time, I want to walk around the block every day. Get the fresh air. Do the zikr. Watch your life change. And watch this depression disappear. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah. I've been listening to such a beautiful kalam and the nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal on it. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi. Alhamdulillah. Reverting back to our topic of discussion, and that is dangers of spiritual diseases. Allahu Akbar. Those diseases that can really throw cold water over our hard endeavors. Let's say, for example, showing off, ostentation.
Right.
A person, you know, makes so much of effort. Maybe it's a cold winter night. And this person has to wake up, you know, and to perform his tahajjud. Nobody is looking at him. But he removes his blanket, despite it being maybe 8 degrees, 10 degrees. And then goes and makes wudu with the cold water. And stand up on the musalla, devotes himself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then later on, he also wakes up for fajr. Or maybe he continues from after tahajjud till, you know, until maybe fajr time, reciting tasbih or reciting the Holy Quran, and he remains awake till the time of fajr. Then he goes to the masjid, prays his fajr salah. And then during the day, somebody, you know, he just says, by the way, he just mentions it. You know, today I woke up for tahajjud. Just this one sentence ruined his whole, you know, exercise of ibadah that he had done.
And to advertise it.
Yes. Today I woke up for tahajjud. He wants to make mention of it. You know, people must know I'm tahajjud guzar. I'm such a pious servant. Allahu Akbar. About such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the day of judgment, angels will be taking some people towards Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, stop. And they will say, Ya Allah, but we only see good in his book of deeds. He says, you were appointed, kiraman katibin, you were appointed to write down his deeds, his apparent actions, whereas I am aware of his heart.
Allah.
What was going on in his heart when he did all those virtuous things. And today I'm going to accept those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I'm only going to accept those things that were done sincerely for my sake.
Allah. That's why, Imam Sahib, you know, intention is so important.
True.
You know, whatever good deed we may do, whether it's small or whether it's big, but the main thing should be one's intention. One's intention should be that I am doing this good act for the sake of Allah. Not to show people or to later on tell people that, you know what, I woke up for Salatul Tahajjud today. You know, that should not be the intention, because if someone does that, then the effort is all gone. It's all wasted, you know. And this is why one should take care of these matters, because these are very delicate and sensitive matters. And one must, you know, always look at their heart and see, what is my intention of doing this? Why am I doing this? For who am I doing this? Because at times the whispers of shaitan would come. And these whispers may come in different forms, you know, and in different ways. And it may be, you know what, do this so that everyone else can see that you're such a good person. Do this so that you may gain the respect of people. And these are all the traps of shaitan. So one, as you were saying, Munasab, one should be sincere in their good actions.
Inshallah. So, you know, and some might even do it in a very subtle way. Like, for example, they'll say, you know, today when I woke up for tahajjud, I saw it was raining.
And yet they're not even questioned about it.
Yes. So why say it? Because, you know, dil ka chor, you know, you wanted to say it. You just needed an excuse to let it out.
Right.
Fair enough if there was somebody who asked you, what did you wake up for tahajjud today? And then you can't, obviously not, you can't lie now. Then you can say, yes, I did. And that would be fine. Yes. Because it was a direct question.
And that can also be, you know, a source of motivation for others to also perform Salatul Tahajjud.
Yes, inshallah. If you said it in that way, yes, then that's all depends on the niyat.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. Then there comes a second spiritual disease. It is khud pasandi, meaning a person is self-conceited, self-absorbed, you know?
Drown in themselves.
Yes, like egotistical people, right. You know, having narcissistic personality, they are in love with themselves. Yeah. Let's say, for example, we have heard the tales of the person, you know, who would look in the pond and he would see his reflection. And that time, maybe perhaps there was no mirrors.
Right.
And he would think to himself, oh, such a handsome personality, subhanAllah. And he fell in love with himself. So this is another spiritual disease, we can say. It's also a psychological disease, by
Absolutely.
The way. Some people nowadays are in love with themselves, not in a healthy way, but to an unhealthy degree. Right? Because they don't regard or consider anyone else full of themselves. And this is not encouraged in the deen of Islam, having this kind of attitude.
Definitely. You know, actually, one should actually think that, okay, I'm wearing this nice clothing and I'm combing my beard well and I'm applying oil on my beard and straightening it and I'm putting surma on my eyes and everything is slim and trim. Everything is top notch. But yet, if the heart is not purified, if the heart is not cleansed, then this outer self does not matter. Because what matters most is one's heart. One's heart needs to be cleaned, needs to be cleansed from the rust of sins. Then whatever is inside will automatically manifest on the outside.
True. This is so true. Whatever is inside, it manifests on the outside. That is so true, alhamdulillah. And that is why our inner self and the outer self must be in sync.
Yes.
It must be in sync. Let's say, for example, when your body limbs are not in control of your mind, what happens? Then you have certain physical conditions where, you know, your limbs are not properly controlled by your body and you want to do something but you can't do it.
Right.
Your hands doesn't go in the direction where you want it to go, where your mind is diverting it to go. We end up in that kind of spiritual situation where there is a conflict with our physical self and our inner self. And so there are many things that can cause it. And these are some of the spiritual diseases that we are mentioning. One of them could be, say, the jealousy, malice, hatred for people. In this regard, there is a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is mentioned that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with the Sahaba in the summary of the narration, where he says, just now a jannati person will come to you. And while he said this, a person came. And when he came, he was carrying his shoes in one hand. Then he came and made salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after that, he went away. The second day again, with the Sahaba he was. And he mentioned again that just now a jannati person will come. Same person appeared. Twice. And then he made salam and went away. Third day again he mentioned that just now a jannati person will come to you. Same person appeared and then he went away after making salam. So this narrator, the one who was present there, he said that I followed that man. I followed that man, that sahabi, and I went to his house. I wanted to see, you know, what is it that he does, you know? What is so special about him? that he is a Jannati, certified Jannati by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he spends some time with him, you know, perhaps a couple of days. And after spending some time with him, he's seeing, he's observing his days, his nights, how he spends his time. He's doing normal things that everybody does. And then he comes to a conclusion, okay, I'm not finding anything extraordinary here. He breaks his silence. He says, you know what, I have to ask you. Rasulullah has said this about you. There must be something special. He said, there's nothing. Obviously, there is nothing. No, there's nothing special about me. He said, no. Think. Try to remember. Put pressure on your mind. He said, well, there is actually nothing except for one thing, that I don't have any malice for anyone in my heart.
Allah.
He said, that is the thing that has admitted you into paradise. Subhanallah. Having no malice or jealousy in your heart for anyone. This is such a virtuous quality, Sayyidi. And this is a spiritual disease which many of us can't get rid of. I mean, there are people who would be wishing for you to go down the drain, and yes, they will stand and laugh at you. There are such people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and cleanse our inner self through the sadaqah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen. So, hasad, bughz, kina, these are the things that may lead a person to the hellfire. This is a spiritual disease. If we nurture it, it may be detrimental to us. Any disease, if it's nurtured, Sayyidi, it will be detrimental to us. But if we get rid of it, then only we can regain our spiritual health.
Yes.
I mean, if you got a fever, right, or any physical disease, and you're not concerned about it, you're not taking no medications for it, you got cancer, you got, you know, high cholesterol, you got diabetes, and you are not concerned about it, you're not taking any medication, and you want to become healthy just like that. Is it realistic?
It won't work at all.
It's not. Here, the same applies here. You want to become pious. You want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to attain Jannah. You want to do good. You want to be a good person. But you are still harboring these evil traits within yourself. Your inner self is drowned in the filth of these spiritual diseases. And you are nurturing them. And you still hope to become pious. You still hope to become a person of good character. You still hope to become a Jannati. Allahu Akbar. Isn't that like a wishful thinking?
Absolutely.
Unrealistic goals.
That's why Munasab, one should, it's actually very important for one to identify those spiritual diseases. Because if one isn't aware of those spiritual diseases, they may be doing all the big deeds, all the big acts. But if they don't know what the spiritual diseases are, and that's causing the rust in their hearts, then all of it is going to waste. So it's important for one to identify, to recognize those spiritual diseases, and once identified, to know the cure for it as well. And the cure for it is given by the Quran and Sunnah, by the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, jealousy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, the summary of the hadith is that jealousy eats away at good deeds.
Allah.
Like how fire eats away at wood. And jealousy, we see it, you know, so widespread. Person got this big house, that nice car, that nice watch. And then someone who doesn't have it is looking at him and thinks to himself, hey, this person has so much that jealousy burns inside him. And he wishes for that person not to have any of it. That person must lose all that he possesses. This is jealousy. And this is something which is very detrimental to one's iman, one's spiritual self, and also to one's well-being.
Definitely, Sayyidi. You know, some people say that, you know, jealousy, okay, this is not really actually a definition, but
right. This
is something that is said, and it is so true. Being jealous is like drinking the poison and wishing for somebody else to die.
Allah.
You are drinking the poison and you are wishing for someone else to die. So it doesn't make sense. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to have jealousy.
Yes. Yes.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the wisdom. Ameen. Another spiritual disease, Sayyidi, is love of praises. You and everyone must praise you. You know, you are so great. MashaAllah. And this is a spiritual disease. There is a beautiful parable or proverb, in Urdu. Actually, it's Persian proverb.
Ji.
Tu mura haji bago, man tura haji bago. It is famous. What's the background of it? That there were two people, and each one, you know, they like them their praises. They like to hear their own praises. And they were going to a place where nobody knew them. And, you know, usually those people who got the title of being called a haji, al-haj or haji, right? This is a symbol of respect.
Right.
Somebody is a haji, you automatically tend to, you know, respect them and honor them. So they said, you know what? You and I, we both know that neither you have gone for Hajj nor I am gone for Hajj. Right? So, but we want the respect, we want the praises. So why don't we do this? You call me a haji when we go there, haji sahab, and I'll call you haji sahab. We both are good.
Allahu
Akbar. And this is where the phrase came about, you know, the Allah proverb. Tu mura haji bago, man tura haji bago. You call me a haji, I'll call you a haji. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. So, in this way, and this is a spiritual disease.
Absolutely.
Allah. Wanting to hear your own praises. But what we should be paying attention to when we are criticized. Because that is supposed to make us better.
Yes.
Praises will make you not want to try harder or try anymore.
It makes you stagnant. Like,
yes.
You can't really move.
Because somebody is praising you, I say, oh, mashallah, this person is praising me, that means I'm good.
This is it now. This is
yes.
Not much more for me to do.
Yes, you have reached that threshold, you know. Allahu Akbar. And there's no reason to strive harder. Right? But whereas if somebody criticizes you, constructive criticism,
yes,
then you want to try harder and strive harder to become better and better and better.
And that's actually room for growth.
Yes. And a person who likes his praises and people praise him, he falls flat. He's flattered, mashallah. He's on cloud nine and he feels no need to progress anymore or to try harder anymore, to strive any further. He's good. Life is set. MashaAllah. And this is not a good trait, actually.
Absolutely.
And this is a spiritual disease, in fact. Allahu Akbar. Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has defined these characteristics to be a kind of spiritual disease you have. And these are some things that we must get rid of them. And then there's something else, the love of the world, Allahu Akbar, where we develop a deep love for the world and we are totally deprived of the love of the hereafter. We are so attracted to the world, but we are heedless of the hereafter.
And you know, Masab, there is actually a huge downfall that some have this in them where they have this love for the world so much that they tend to be blinded by reality. They tend to be blinded that there's death still to come. You know, I mean, the hereafter is there, and some people are engrossed in the world, drowned in the love of this world, accumulating wealth, harboring wealth, not letting that wealth go out to the poor and needy, and just living life. You know, if a person is, there is no harm, obviously, you know, in living life, but if a person lives life in this way, in the way which is contradicting the Sharia, then obviously it is a downfall. And this comes to having love for the world, because this actually can destroy a person's iman. Having love for this world, which is temporary. It's not even everlasting. It's not forever. It's something temporary. So one who's wise should think that, why should I have so much of love? Or why should I even have love for this world when it is only temporary? Rather, I should use my time that I have in this world to harvest and cultivate for the hereafter.
Allah. Well, definitely. You know, the world is a resource, right? Whatever worldly things, they are all resources. They are not our destination. Mm-hmm. This is the workshop that we are in.
Yeah. This is
Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah.
Yes.
That the world is the cultivation for the hereafter. Mm-hmm. And this is just a passing phase. This is not our destination. And some of us have made this world our sole destination. Mm-hmm. This is where the problem comes. You know, our priorities are gone haywire. You know, we no longer know what to prioritize and what to give a secondary importance.
Right.
So the love of the world is the root of every evil. Mm-hmm. It's the root of every evil, it's the mother of all evil. And it is something, you know, worldly things, they are the resources, you can use them, you can leverage them to get to your destination. But you're not supposed to love them. Like, let's say, for example, this device here.
Right.
It's meant to be used. It's not meant to be loved.
Yes.
That's the difference. So, world. And Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, gives a beautiful example. He says that, you know, the example of this world is like the ocean. Mm. And we are like the boat. The boat needs the ocean to sail. Without ocean, the boats don't sail in desert, right?
Right.
They need water to be on the surface of the water. And the purpose of the boat is to stay on the surface, not to go in the Mariana Trench. Mm. So the purpose of the boat is to stay afloat. And then we need the water to stay afloat. So it is something you can't do without at the same time.
Yes.
He says that the world, meaning the water, the example of the world is like water. Water is good for as long as it stays below the boat.
Mm.
But it is detrimental when it gets into the boat.
Mm. So true. What a beautiful example.
So this is the example of the world. And we should try very hard not to let the love of the world make home in our hearts. Inshallah, ameen, bijahin, nabiyin, ameen. Another thing, Sayyidi, is to want publicity, to want name and fame. You know, you must have seen some people who go like crazy in the social media sensation. You know, they want to post their things everywhere. They want to be seen on each and every social media networks. They want to see in each and every event. They will be the first ones to go and grab the mic to say something. They want attention. They are hungry for attention.
This actually comes down, you know, to a person being insecure about themselves. When there's, you know, insecurity, if someone has insecurities, then they would want to go out there and show that, you know what, I'm here and I need to have that attention.
Yes. So it is actually a problem which they're trying to cover.
Yeah.
By being all out, right?
All over the show.
Yes, Allahu Akbar. And you know, this kind of people, when they seek attention, they don't care whether it's a good publicity or a bad publicity, as long as they get some publicity. Therefore, there's a share where the shair says, and it goes in line with this kind of people, that you know, hum talibe shohrat hain, hame nang se kya aar, badnaam agar honge to kya naam na hoga. Meaning, we just want publicity. Whether it's bad publicity, never mind.
Yeah, as long as it's publicity.
As long as it's publicity. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give us tawfiq to abstain from having such traits where we are seeking attention, unwanted attention. You know, some of the pious predecessors, they say, and I've heard this phrase in Arabic, be like the person that you must be nobody in the world, but you must be famous in the court of Allah.
Allah.
Subhanallah. That's the kind of publicity we would like to have, inshallah. Just like the people who make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels, they descend and they see them making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my bondman, he remembers me in privacy, I remember him alone, subhanallah. And when he remembers me in a gathering, I mention him in a gathering that is better than theirs.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. He makes us popular amongst the angels. Allahu Akbar. That is the kind of publicity we need.
Yes. And for that, Masab, you know, one shouldn't be running after this world. You know, one shouldn't be running for name and fame. Rather, one should be running towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by doing that, this entire world will come at a person's feet.
The next trait he mentioned, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, is Ta'zimi Umara, meaning paying respect to the rich. If somebody is rich and affluent, you go and you know, you go behind them, you follow their tail. Allahu Akbar. And this is something that is not encouraged in Islam. Don't respect someone for having money. Yes, there can be many other things to have paid respect for. Like, for example, he has a good character. Follow him. He is a pious person. Follow him. Subhanallah. He is a knowledgeable person. Follow him for that. But this shouldn't be one of the reasons to honor someone because they have money.
And it's often seen, Masab, that, you know, when it comes to those who are middle class or average or poor, then there's no respect shown to them. But when it comes to someone who's extremely rich, extremely wealthy, everyone wants to run behind. Why? Because of the person's wealth, not because of the individuals or of the individual themselves. And this is not the proper attitude to have. Rather, one should, whether the person is poor, whether middle class, whether rich, whoever it may be, but one's love towards other fellow Muslims should be equal for one and one.
This is so serious, Allahu Akbar, and this is a spiritual disease.
Quite scary.
Yes. And then on the other hand, to honor someone because he is wealthy, and to degrade someone because that person is poor.
So this both
is another
ways.
Yes, this is another spiritual disease. To consider someone not worthy of paying respect, to disregard him because he's a poor person. Allah. You know, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of them lived in poverty, although they could have had so much of wealth.
Yes.
But this is not something they ran after. And if we are disregarding the poor people, and we must know where we stand. This is a spiritual disease. Allahu Akbar.
And most of the poor Muslims, they will actually enter, as per the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich.
True. And this is obviously not a comparison.
Yes, yes.
We're not trying to paint a bad picture that, you know, you shouldn't be a rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you, mashallah. And those who are poor, maybe it was their choice to remain poor because less accountability, alhamdulillah, it just happened to be. And we can progress in both the states. We don't have to be rich in order to, you know, become closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were many rich people who were admired in the court of Allah. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, who doesn't know about him? Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
And how many Sahaba Ikram were wealthy and rich?
Yes, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So these are some examples, alhamdulillah. Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, mashallah. He was a trader, export-import business. And he was Sultanul Awliya, subhanallah. He is Sultanul Awliya still. Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
And then we have, mashallah, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He was a very famous, rich personality of Islam. And he was such a great scholar at the same time. Close in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great scholar of Islam. So you can have both, yes. There's no saying that you can't have.
Yes.
But there are responsibilities. You know, with position comes responsibility. And inshallah, azza wa jal, May Allah Azzawajal give us tawfiq to do justice to the responsibilities we are given. And those poor people whom Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to keep very close, such as Ashab Suffa, they were always at the feet of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that was the first university of Islam. Allahu Akbar. So yes, both ways. Another spiritual disease that is mentioned, Sayyidi, is to follow the desires of the nafs. Follow the carnal desires. I mean, there is no end to the desires of a man. As a human being, we all have desires. Yeah. But to give in to them, that is the trap.
That's where the problem is.
Yes. We must know how to channel them. Ways to, you know, oppose the desires at times. Because if you keep on following the desires, there will be more and more desires. Desires are not going to come to an end. And even if you are the wealthiest person of the world, you will still fail to fulfill each and every desire of yours. So how far are you going to fall into your desires? So this is a trap where he says, like a no-go zone, because there is no end to it.
And we see through history, yes, right, all those that followed their carnal desires, at the end they got ruined because of feeding into their carnal desires, that they couldn't see what's right, what's wrong. They couldn't differentiate between the two. And they didn't care. And due to them falling for their carnal desires, they ended up getting ruined.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from these spiritual diseases. Inshallah azza wa jal, there's going to be more topics that we are going to discuss, inshallah azza wa jal, in the upcoming episodes. Until then, keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That can also be a remedy for our spiritual diseases.
Definitely.
And keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.